Good morning, church. We're going to stand and sing Shine, Jesus, Shine. Worship today is from Psalms 116, and you can sit down. 1-7. I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy because he turned his ear to me. I will call on him as long as I live. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came upon me. I was overcome by trouble and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, save me. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the simple-hearted. When I was in great need, he saved me. Be at rest once more, O my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. Shelter of the Lord, who abide in the shadow for life. Say to the Lord, my refuge, my rock, in whom I trust, and he will reign. His faithfulness your shield, and He will raise you up on eagle's wings, bear you on the breath of dawn, make you to shine like the sun, and hold you in the palm of His hand. You need not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day. Though thousands fall about you, be near you, it shall.
You may be seated. Oh, you already are. Bob and Lisa Floss are up in Minneapolis seeing their grandson for the first time. I've got $1 here telling me, what is their grandson's name?
Griffin.
I heard it right over here. That was pretty fast there. There you go. It's the fastest dollar she'll ever make. Griffin. Griffin is his
Griffin
name.
James.
So that's why they're not here today. But do want to thank you for allowing us to go see my mom. She is officially 96 years old. Hey, Mom, 96. Glad you could make it there. And we got back Thursday night. And I just want to say thank you for those of you that sent cards, birthday cards or get well cards to her. Guess what I got to do? I got to tell her who you are, you know? And so it made a big difference in her, and she just can't believe that she got all these cards from you guys. And I go, it doesn't surprise me one bit. So thank you for those of you that did that. This week is a big week. First of all, it starts today. Following the service, what's going to happen?
Choir practice.
Did you hear that? Choir practice. If you want to be in a choir, come right up here. Just going to sing one song, getting ready for one song to sing sometime in the future. But if you like to be someone that likes to sing, even if you can't sing watermelon, you can say watermelon and no one will ever hear you. But part of a group is a good thing to do. And so right following the service today, come right up here and we'll sing the song. And then you are free to go back and get some refreshments. So I'd like to thank those of you that provide the refreshments every week. I go like, that's not an easy thing to do. My wife and I have done it a couple of times and we go like, Shazam. It's not just setting it up, but then it's cleaning up and all that kind of stuff. So thank you to those of you that enjoy doing those kinds of things, and those of you that don't like doing it, you don't have to do it, but that means you can't eat. Just go home. No, that's not true. Tuesday, we have prayer partners meet in the library at 9:30. And then on Tuesday, we're going to have just a trial run. Those of you know who you are with Grief Share. That's something we're going to be kicking off like the beginning of January. For those of you that have lost a loved one, lost somebody close to you, we're going to do a kind of like a video series. It's called Grief Share. And Richard Mitski is going to be helping with that. And so somebody else will announce later on. But Richard lost his wife a little over a year ago down in Arizona. So he knows what it's like to go through the loss of a spouse. And that's what this whole Grief Share thing is about as well, helping people deal with grief. And so if, you know, there's at least 20 people here that are dealing with that. Maybe there's more. So we're going to start with just the first 8 or 10 that can sign up once we launch this in January. We'll do it again, I mean, after that, but we're just going to try to figure out how we're going to do this, but we want to make sure we do it good. That's why we're doing the trial run starting this Tuesday. We're only going to start with like 5 people, and they're going to help us to say, like, was this good or was it okay, or what do we need to improve on? And so we're going to get some feedback that way. So before we launch, we want to know that it's going to start off good and be something worthwhile for you. So we're going to do that this Tuesday. Wednesday, Joy Kids start again. And what time do the kids start coming? 3:30. And goes till 5. And then we're putting two together. Then we're going to have supper, because Dean Ramsey likes having something for you to eat on the third Wednesday of the month called adult, well, what's called Wednesday Night Fellowship. And then we're going to hear from Jim and Barb Rolfe. They're going to show some slides after supper telling us about Wittenberg, Germany. I didn't realize that Wittenberg was in East Germany a number of years ago. Now the whole country of Germany is reunited. And they were there. They took some pictures. That's where Martin Luther was a pastor, that he taught there. It's kind of his roots in that area. And so they're coming to talk a little bit about what they have experienced and what it looks like today. It looks a lot different today than what it did probably back then, because they modernized it because of tourism. And Barb and Jim were there, I believe, before they had modernized what it looks like today, if you go there. So they're going to be talking about that, and that will be very, very interesting, and you are welcome to come to be a part of that, and that's kind of after supper on this Wednesday night.
And there's a little change in time for the supper.
Oh, there is.
It's at 5:30 instead of 6.
5:30. Good. I'm hungry about that. So 5:30. We'll start the supper. Gives you a little better idea of kind of when we'll hear about the Germany thing as well with Barb and Jim, Ralph as well. And then Thursday, we're going to be probably our last study on heaven. That's going to be from noon to 1. I'm going to bring a sack lunch. I'm noticing there's more people bringing sack lunches. It's not just Norma, you know. So there's other people bringing stuff to eat or something to nibble on. And so what are you bringing, Doran, this week? Okay, peanut butter sandwiches and chips. All right. I hope I can sit by you and eat your chips. You can have the. You'll try to talk, and the peanut butter will stick to the roof of your mouth. So. Sounds good. So it'll be the last study on heaven. There'll be other questions. If you have questions about heaven, you can bring them up at that time, too. I'm not saying I know the answers to those, but I can refer you to a good book that talks about heaven that will probably answer some of the questions that you may have. And you'll have that in person on your shelf or at home where you live as well. There is just want you to know about confirmation. We are going to start confirmation, but that won't be until October. You'll hear more about that as the time comes. And then a congregational business meeting, the biannual one, we got the time set for that. It's going to be the last Sunday in October. Therefore, that means all reports, all those that are presidents and chairmen and missionaries and I don't know, whoever you are, you know what they are. Get your reports into Amy, to the church office, by Sunday, October 13th, so that we can have the booklets put together and out there for you to read a week ahead of time. So keep that in mind. That's coming up real soon. Meals on Wheels, we also have that in October. If you'd like to be a driver and deliver meals. It's just Tuesdays and Thursdays are the times that we do that. And so there's a sign up outside of the church office that you can do that today as well. And you see something, if you want to help with some donations for the Joy Kids, Joy Us Kids, you see that in the bottom of your bulletin, the handout there. And then talk to Amy Johnson if you have any questions about Joy Kids and Joy Us. Do have something very interesting that just happened recently is that the music committee is going to be meeting tomorrow night or tomorrow sometime with somebody who's interested in the position.
Hallelujah.
Was that Karen Dawkin? It was. Yeah. Yeah, I'm glad she's so shy. You know. So I mean, just, you know, be in prayer about that as well, because that's a big thing. It's a, all I know is it's a young guy, which means there must be a guitar. I don't know. But they'll decide that as they get together and meet with him. So I think that's an answer to prayer too, just that there's someone who's interested as well. So let's pray, and I'll turn it back over to, well, we'll pray, and then I'll do the responsive reading, and then they'll do the singing. Sorry for making you guys stand up here. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've given to us. Your word says that today is a day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, Lord, no matter what our attitude is or where we may be emotionally here today, may we take your words literally. And we just ask you, Lord, maybe my attitude's not so good here today, but I do want to rejoice and be a thankful person today. Thankful for being able to be here, because if it wasn't here, it would probably be probably not feeling well. I'd be sick or whatever. So just to be here is a blessing. And so, Lord, there's people around us that maybe we've seen before, maybe we haven't. May we just be a pleasant person and give them a breath of fresh air and make them feel glad that they came today too, that someone even noticed them, someone that even cared about them to talk to them. And so we thank you, Lord, for how my mom is doing, strength that she has been given, and just the different things that we see of how far she has come from once being in the Garrison nursing home. And so we look forward to the day that she can be in her own apartment and getting around or just doesn't really care if somebody comes to see her or not, but just to be in her own chair, in her own room. That would be a great day as well. So thank you for her. Thank you for the sunshine that she brings to those around her in the meadows. And thank you for the people in the meadows for the way that they encourage her and look out for her and just tell how much, well, they don't just tell her how much they love her, but they also show it by a lot of different ways in which they do that. And so we just pray that she'd have continued progress today and the days ahead as well. Thank you for those that are here today. Today, Lord, is the last day that Karen is going to be here. I won't tell you which Karen it is. You can find that out yourself. But we are going to miss her, because I know that it's really spring when we see her. And we just pray that we'll see her next spring as well, and that she will not get so hot in Arizona that she says she wished she was here in Iowa. It's cooler. But we just thank you for her and bless her as she travels tomorrow down to the south, as well as those that are making plans ahead in that direction too, probably for a few weeks here yet. And so, Lord, we lift up to you this day, all that takes place in this worship service. No one's here by accident. You have brought each and every person here today for a reason and for a purpose, and that's just for you to be able to give them a hug or to whisper things in their ears or to nudge their hearts in a different way than it's ever been nudged before, of just saying how much you care, how much you love them, and how much you want heaven for them as well. Even if it's showing us our sin today, we can be thankful that you do that for us, but you've also paid the penalty of that sin. And not just one person, but for the whole entire world. So we just grateful for the love you have for us, and that we can be here today and the opportunity we have to share your word with one another. We pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. The responsive reading today comes from Hebrews and Galatians. It says, for the word of God is living and active. In the King James Version, it says, powerful. Living and powerful. Sharper than any double-edged sword.
It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow.
It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight.
Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him whom we must give account.
As God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved,
clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience.
Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another.
Forgive as the Lord forgave you.
Over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity.
Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace.
Seat, or you can go back and stand, because I'm going to ask everyone else to please stand as we hear God's word this morning. It comes to us more toward the end of the New Testament, a small book by the name of James. And some of you that have been through the Bible study of James here a few years ago, you might say, like, I remember us studying this and talking about this back then. Well, don't get too excited here this morning, but you're going to hear some of these same things again today. James chapter 3, verses 3 through 12. When we put bits into the mouths of horses, not your husbands, not your wives, put them in mouths of horses, to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life or her life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man. But no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise the Lord, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your words because we know that they are true. This is probably a very practical portion of Scripture that teaches us as your children, as followers of Jesus Christ, that we have some things to deal with that maybe we never had to deal with before. But we find that only you can make a difference in our lives, even with something as small as our tongue. So be with us today. May we hear what you want us to hear and apply what we hear in the things that you teach us and instruct us here in the book of James. We pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Or if you don't want to listen to the sermon, you can either go to sleep or you can go in your car and take off, get something to eat. Today is a pretty pointed message, and yet it is what it is. God cares enough about each of us that he gives us these words for us today. Some of us don't have a problem with your tongue, and yet there can be some here who do. Or at times, like I tell my wife, leave the house, I got to change the faucet in the kitchen. I don't want her around. Even if she wants to be helpful, I just say, nope, 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 get, just go away. I'll be fine. Because she knows what it's like if she stays around. There's one thing that gets my goat and tests my Christianity. It's plumbing. Okay? If you remember last week, we heard about Jesus healing a deaf and a mute man. And Jesus touched this man with his hand or his finger. He spit on it, and he was going to touch the man's what? His tongue. You know, I tried that with my mom this past week. And she said, get that out of here. She would not let me touch my spit on her tongue, which I don't blame her. So I'd do the same thing. I wouldn't want that to happen. But Jesus did it, and this man who saw him doing it allowed him to do that. That was last week. So today I start with this introduction. Have you ever had a bar of soap used against you for saying a bad word or lying? Has that ever happened to you somewhere in your life? It was probably when you were very young. Hannah, has that ever happened to you? It's because you're tall. That's probably why. My mom did it to me. But I did something that she didn't expect. I didn't open my mouth. But she rubbed it on my teeth. Same effect. Not good. I knew I had it coming. And she was there to teach me, you don't say those kinds of words. And maybe it was just an attitude adjustment I needed at that day or that time. And I probably lied. Who knows what I did. But I remember that once, only happened once. Because after that, when she said, do you want your mouth washed out with soap? I knew she meant business, and I go like, no. And then she said, you better shape up or stop doing that. James, in our In our text here today, James is the half-brother of Jesus. Did you know that? He grew up in the family with Jesus, but he's a half-brother. Because Jesus' real dad was his heavenly father, not Joseph. And so James is one of those that really didn't believe in his own brother. He saw what he did, he heard what he had done, but it wasn't until later on in his life did he come to really believe who Jesus is. That he is the Savior of the world, that he is, man, he is someone that he probably said, I wish I would have listened to him a whole lot more than what I did. But he became a believer later on in his life. And it's James here, he's making a point about something small, and yet it can do so much damage. And so he uses examples. You know, he talks about a bit on a bridle. You know what a bridle is? It's what you put on a horse. The bit is what goes in the mouth. Connected to the bit are what is called the reins. So if you get on the horse, you're holding the reins, and you could neck steer the horse. If you push on the rein on this side of the neck, it'll go that direction. If you push on this side of the neck, it'll go that direction. Now, there's some that they pull the rein on this side to get them to go that way. That's a stubborn horse. You want to have neck reining in order to ride a horse. He uses a rudder of a ship and a spark. And then James moves to what we don't want to hear. The tongue. Our own tongue. We each have one. Right? Look to the person on your left and tell them, open your mouth, I want to see your tongue. Don't stick your tongue out at them. Just open your mouth. But we all have a tongue. Which also means we can relate to what James is telling us here, because it's very, very practical what he has for us here in our teaching here this morning. Because the tongue is a small part of the body, but it can also cause a lot of damage, a lot of destruction. And so James refers to the tongue as a fire, evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person as one who is on fire. And then he goes on with the ship. How does a ship move back in the day? With a sail. In order for a ship to move, you have to have what? Wind. A breeze. You have to have something to move it. And it takes the captain of that ship to use a steering wheel. And the steering wheel is connected to the rudder, which is a very little part of that boat or that ship that steers the ship of where you want it to go. It's just a very small part of the bigger structure. Wind, water, and fire can be very good when it is controlled and when it is contained. But when it is out of control, look out. It can be a disaster. We know that from just the rain that took place back in June, what happened in Spencer, what happened in some of your basements. You found out if your sump pump worked or not. But flooding and lots of water is not a good thing, because you can't fight it. It's going to just go where it wants to go, and you'll do your best, but it won't be good enough. Lots of damage. And we've seen pictures on the news and things like that in the past of what that is like. Wind. Can wind damage things? Oh, yeah. Have you heard of hurricanes? Notice they don't call them hurricanes. They're hurricanes. Tornadoes. What do they call that one that's got real strong straight? Yeah, the derecho. Straight line winds. Damages. Steel bends and homes and elevators and flips trucks over on the road. I mean, it's incredible. Breaks branches off trees, blows trees over. Wind, if it's not contained. Just this past week, I had a friend of mine, he said that he traced his ancestry back of some of his ancestors came over on the Mayflower, and then they moved to Indiana, and then some moved up to North Dakota, and one of the brothers there said, when you could hold your hat against the wall of a building and it stayed there for 3 days, he said, he's not staying in North Dakota. He moved to British Columbia and moved to Vancouver, Canada. It's nicer weather there. But I've heard of women that went out into the prairie who committed suicide because of the noise of the wind. It would never let up. It just blew and it would whistle. And a number of women just committed suicide early on as pioneers out on the prairie. If you've never lived there, you kind of know it can be windy and it never quits. You go like, good grief. But it's not good grief, it's bad grief. That's just a saying we'd say out there. Wind can be a terrible thing. I brought with me today something else that is small. You know what this is? Aha, some of you know what that is. You know, this little ball brings a lot of enjoyment, and it can be something that makes you say things that you wish you would not say. But this ball can mean $1 million. Millions of dollars to somebody who can really hit it and knows what they're doing and plays the game well. And there's not very many of those. You wouldn't be here today if you could golf really good. But just think, a small ball has big ramifications in the lives of some people. Some people golf their whole life and cuss and swear their whole life too as they play the game. Got something else here today, smaller than that golf ball. You can't see it from where you are. It looks like a 22 bullet, but it's not. It's a piece of a bolt that was stuck into one of my brand new tires, and it kept getting a slow leak every 3 to 4 days where the light would come on in your vehicle saying, tire pressure, something's wrong. Thankfully, I'm old school, so I got the old tire pressure thing out there and checked the tires. I go like, it's always the same tire that's low. Took it in, and this is what they found. A brand new tire that was pierced by a little bolt somewhere. Don't even know where I got it. But he took it out. Little things that can cause big problems. Speaking of little things, how many of you watched the Kansas City Chiefs and the Baltimore Ravens a little over a week ago? Did you see that last play? Time was only down to seconds, the last of the seconds of the game. The Baltimore Ravens have to make one touchdown to tie the game to make it go overtime. The quarterback, it's fourth down. He has to make a touchdown in order to go the game into overtime. He passes the ball. A Raven jumps up. He catches the ball. He comes down in the end zone. But what happened? The toe of his shoe stepped on the line back of the end zone. And as they played it back over, Kansas City won because it was ruled an incomplete pass. Now think if he had a wore just like a one size shorter of the shoe that day. Instead of wearing a 12, he wore a size 11. He would have probably came down inside of that end zone. But because of his toe, they lost the game. That's amazing. A little thing like that made them lose the game. Well, James speaks of horses, of ships, of trees, as he thinks of forests, and how small things can be, but still very useful and important when they're used under good conditions and in right ways. James goes on and he says that man can even tame animals, birds and reptiles and creatures of the sea. Think of seals. If you go down to Florida, some of you probably will be going, you can go and see the seals perform at some place, or orcas, which are called killer whales. They're doing their thing, obeying at porpoises, doing different things. But one thing man cannot ever do, it's tame his or her tongue. That's what James says. Is it true? Sometimes you can say like, well, I didn't say it, but I wanted to. Or if I didn't say it, I thought it. If you think it, it's just like saying it. Jesus said, if you look at another woman, if you lust after her, it's just like, you know, it's just like doing it. Whatever you lusted her about her for. God knows, even our thoughts. James chapter 1, verse 19, you just go back to a couple of chapters before, James talks about the tongue again. And he says, in verse 19 of James chapter 1, everyone should be quick to listen, but slow to what? Speak. Sometimes our tongue gets ahead of our brain. We don't think things through before we speak. When I first came here to Harbor of Joy, there was someone that said, loose lips sink ships. I can't remember who even said that to me. But I thought about that more, and I go like, well, where's that come from? It goes back to World War II. Loose lips sink ships. It means there are things that you say, and there's things you keep it to yourself. How different life would be if we would probably think before we say things, especially about other people. James, like I said before, is very practical. We also find in James chapter 1, verse 26, he talks about a mirror. Man looks at a mirror. A woman can look at a mirror. I think a woman looks at a mirror more than a man does. The problem is that once you look in the mirror, you leave it and you forget what you saw. That's what James talks about. You can see some of your weaknesses. You can see some of the things that you do in life that you shouldn't do. You may see some sin that is brought to your mind as you look into the mirror, as you look at your face. The problem is that once you leave the mirror, you stop thinking about those things. You forget about who you are like, what you are like. And then he says this, keep a tight rein on your tongue. Goes back to a bridle and a bit. The rein is connected to the bit. It says in James chapter 1, verse 26, keep a tight rein on your tongue. A religious person who doesn't keep a tight rein on his or her tongue, it says this in James, deceives himself, and his religion is worthless. Oofta. Oofta. You can be as religious as you want to be. You can put on any kind of a front you want to put on. But if you can't control your tongue, your religion is worthless. I I didn't say that. Of course, I said it this morning, but I'm just repeating what you see here in James. So how is it? When you think about your life, when you think about who you are, how is it? Need some improvement? Could you use some help? I remember getting out of the service, and guess what they taught me how to do in the service? Very, very well. How to cuss. It was around you all the time. I heard words I never even dreamt of hearing words come from people from different cultures and different places in the United States. I'd come home on leave, and I'd be just talking to mom and dad, and all of a sudden I'm going like, I never used to swear in front of my parents. Never. They'd slap my mouth. They'd slap my face if I did. But I'd come home, and sure enough, I couldn't say a sentence without swearing or cussing. And they would just kind of laugh at that a little bit, like, oh, you sure changed a lot. I go like, man, it's just, it's kind of the environment I've been around. And I remember one day after getting out of the service, I realized, probably looking into the mirror, you know, Tim, you can cuss wallpaper off of a wall. It's that bad. And I just said, yeah, you're right. Yeah, I do that. And I go, I'm going to try and not cuss or swear from this day forward. My college roommates came into the room, and I caught myself cussing and swearing. And I go like, whoops, I guess I can't do this by myself. And so I prayed. And even as I prayed, I'd laugh to myself, saying like, well, this isn't going to work, but I'll pray anyway. And I asked the Lord to help me to not cuss anymore. And you know what happened? He did that. So I found myself much more at peace. And it was one of those things that said, you know, God is able to give power in places you never thought was possible. Cussing was one of them. I also loved to drink. I'd get drunk. God took away that desire to be able to say no to alcohol. It just showed me that God can do what only He can do. If I try to do it myself, it's not going to work. So James goes on, and he says, the same tongue that we praise God with, we also then curse other people. Other people are His creation. And so it comes out of the same mouth, can either be praise or cursing, and he gives these questions. He says, can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? Answer to that is no. Can a fig tree bear olives and can a grapevine bear figs? Answer? No. It's obvious. So James, as he speaks to us God's word, he always mentions my brothers. He's not coming to attack anybody. But he calls them brothers, sisters. Just some practical instruction in life. We must ask ourselves this morning. Where does the tongue get its power? Where does the tongue get its power in saying what it says? Where is the root of the problem? And the source is this. It's what's in your heart. That's where it comes from. What's in your heart will come out of your mouth. You need a new heart in order for the tongue to be tamed. You need a new relationship with Jesus Christ, where his resurrection power will empower you to live for him. I might be weird, I might be strange, but I, more and more, in this world that I live in, when you're around more and more people, you hear people taking God's name in vain. Or they say something off-colored. And it affects me. I mean, I just think back and go, like, that could have been me. I could have said that. I could have been that way, or I once was that way. But you need a new heart. And when God gets hold of your heart, it's amazing how it will affect your tongue. When God truly gets a hold of your heart, he can do things you never thought were possible. The hogs will know it when you have a new heart, if you're a hog farmer. If you're a cattle farmer, if you have cattle, the cows will know it, that something has changed in you because you don't treat them like you once did. I'm going to close with this. True story. Some of you have been involved or have known about Promise Keepers. It happened a number of years ago. I'm not sure if it's still going or not, but when I was a pastor, one guy from our church in Wahpeton, North Dakota, we went down to the Twin Cities for a Promise Keeper event. And during one of the breaks, one of the men said, "Pastor Tim, come here." And he says, "I got a stupid question I want to ask you." I go, "There's no such thing as a stupid question. There's no such thing as a dumb question. What's on your mind?" He goes, "I've never heard this before." That's why I always remember it. He said, "Is it wrong to cuss?" I go, like, "I've never been asked that before. Is it wrong to cuss?" And I said, "Well, you got your Bible with you, right?" He goes, "Yeah." And I said, "Well, turn to Colossians chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. I just happened to read that not too long ago, so I could remember that. And so I had him read it. And he reads it. It says this: "You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But now you must rid yourself of all such things as these." And he gives a list of these things that you need to get rid of. Anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. And I asked him, I said, "So now that you read it, what do you think?" I didn't have to tell him. He said, "It's wrong." I said, "Well, that's what it says there in James." And this guy was a high up in the field of Pomida. Remember Pomida stores? They don't exist anymore, I don't think. But he was the guy who ran the whole store in Wahpeton. And I still keep in touch with him today as he moved to Omaha, Nebraska. And he's not in Pomida at all anymore, but has a furniture, well, kind of like a sofa furniture store type of a thing, and spas type of a thing. And he's doing great. for Jesus. He just keeps saying, I don't know why God wants me to be selling beds and spas. I want to do something for the Lord. And I go like, Mark, God will show you what he wants you to do if you just be patient. He goes, I've been patient for many years already. He was the kind of guy that could retire when he was 42. Now he's 61. And he says, he doesn't know what he's going to do, but he doesn't like what he's doing. He wants to serve Jesus. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come across some speed bumps here that we often run into on a road or in a parking lot. Who knows where we come across them, but we know we have to slow down and go over them. And today could be one of those speed bumps in our lives as well. That's one of the things that is a real comfort in coming to church, is that people talk differently than what you hear out there in the world, stores or businesses, or people come in wanting to do things in your yard or your street, or making deals on different things. Help us, Lord, to help people to see something very small. But when we leave, that the other person will say, like, you know, that person didn't swear or cuss at all. We may never know that. But it's a small thing that might get that person thinking about his or her life. Or the next time they see you, to say, like, hey, help me with this, or I don't understand how you can not cuss or swear like I do. What's your secret? And you can say, well, it's no secret. It's just having Jesus in your heart and in your life, and he changes you from the inside out. So we just give him the praise, we give him the glory. And he loves you just as much as he loves me. And what he did for me, he can do for you. It's just that simple. It doesn't make anything complicated. But you need to come to him. Maybe there's sin in your life you need to repent of. You need to say, Lord, I fail here, I fail there. I sin. Forgive me. I believe it starts with forgiveness, real repentance, where the power of Jesus Christ comes and does its work. When we truly, truly mean it. And so, Lord, let's just pray the prayer together that you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us stand as we recite the Apostles' Creed together today. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. I just want to be honest with you for just a moment here before we play the last song here. Maybe you're here today and you go like, man, I really blow it. I have a hard time with my tongue. I just want you to know, hey, I know where you've been. I mean, I know where you are because I've been there myself. And there's going to be times sometimes you even mess up. Say things you go like, why did I do that? Why did I say that? Why did my kids hear me say that? Why did this person hear me say that? We do fail. But always keep in mind, you may not say it outwardly, you may think it. It's still a problem, because God knows what we think. I just want you to know that God loves you and cares about you, and he can help you. And so I just say that just for, I don't even know why I'm saying it. I just say it because I know if God did it for me, he can do it for anybody. So with that in mind, Lord, I just pray that you be with my friends here. We have heard some tough things here today and maybe some practical things, simple little things, but they still can be a problem because some people are just who they are. We hang out with people who they don't have a tame tongue. And sometimes we just say, well, that's who they are. Lord, may we just be used of you to be able to say, you know, you're the most religious person I've ever heard in my life. Because I hear you say, you talk more about God than I do. But only it's done in ways that is not uplifting or honoring him. So whatever is being said, Lord, it's a small little thing that you can use us in everyday life. May your truth always be the way in which we want to go with our tongue, in our hearts, and in the way we live. We ask this in your name. Amen.
Shall we stand and sing our closing hymn? And serve the Lord. Well, I'm going to play it later. But I will be playing for it.
I want to sing it, but I got to work at the fair.
Well, of course you do. I mean, you. Why? Of course.
But I'll.